Not that cricket. Clubhouse in podcast. The name is Larry Quidera. Looking at the review of the African Games, I know it's a little bit late, but had a chat with Eli, Master Eli, and he was at the African Games. The first part we'll be talking about the women's game, how that panned out, how they put together the standout performance and so forth. And in the second episode, which will be available tomorrow, we'll be looking at the men's performance, just doing a roundup of what the men's performance is like. Yeah, so here we go. Hi there, it's the Clubhouse End Podcast. The name is Larry Quidirai, and this edition of the Clubhouse End Podcast, as we're sitting here after Zimbabwe women have just taken a 2-0 lead, and the one day is against Papua New Guinea women. We're going to talk about that, and also going to talk about the recently gold medaled positions, both of them, in Ghana, Accra. And joining me today, after a while, is Eli, who was there watching all the action from Ghana. Dave.
What's up, Larry? You good?
Fresh off the plane, went there in person, watched both teams. Must have been exciting.
It was a good experience. It was wonderful, wonderful experience. The whole game situation, you know, where there are 54, you know, nations participating there, various sporting disciplines. I even lost count how they were, how many they were. And also cricket featuring for the first time in a multi-sports competition. Yeah, it was an experience and a half.
But Zimbabwe won quite a few medals there. Two of the golds came from Zimbabwe. And then Denethil Cipriano's became, I think, the first male swimmer to win a gold medal for Zimbabwe. And you were there for it. Were you there to watch it?
No, I didn't watch that. But I was at the cricket grounds. The Lady Chevrons were playing a game, but we had the news, and the ambassador was at the Achimota Oval watching cricket. He's like, no, I need to go to the swimming gala because something just happened there. That's how we knew that something big had happened. But everybody was excited. What I loved about it was the oneness of Team Zimbabwe. We had a lot of various sporting disciplines representing Zimbabwe, but they would go out and support each other if somebody was playing when they were on rest day. Like when the boys came through to play, the young Chevrons were there to play. Rugby guys came for the first game because they had just gotten there and they had a break, and they were like, let's go watch and support the cricket boys. So that was good to see. So teams coming to support each other was one of the best things, just so that everybody feels at home. And hearing the war cries that we normally sing at Harare Sports Club from the Castle Corner being sang by the rugby boys just made the boys more feel at home. And you know what happened in the first game?
It was clinical. It was clinical. So before we talk about the men's games, let's talk about the women's games. Another ruthless performance from the Lady Chevrons. A tight final, but it seems as if they're just conquering Africa now.
Well, they are. They're doing well. And what it shows, it's rewards that we're seeing from the hard work that these ladies have been putting. If you remember, they have been in action from the moment just before the qualifiers in Uganda. They went to Omtex in India before heading out to Uganda. And then from Uganda, they went back to Omtex again. Then they went for the games. So they
And then there was Ireland in there as well.
There was Ireland also, yeah, in the thick of things there. So they have had, if I'm not mistaken, about 4 or 5 months of constant playing cricket. And the one thing that people always say, the more games you play, the better you will become. And it was a moment of just the right moment in time where we see the rewards, where you go to play amongst the best in Africa and you come out tops. So, yeah, it's good work show.
Modesta and Josephine as well, the captain, really stood out in this. Later on, I'm going to talk to you about that final over from Francesca Cipari. It was just incredible. But so many accolades, you know, and so many things you can say about the performance of Modesta, the first woman Zimbabwe player, cricket player, to get to 1,000 runs. And just now against PNG, she anchored the innings. I mean, carried the bat throughout and scored something like 57. She has become such a... I mean, after a period in Washington, wasn't really getting picked. The opening partnership, I think Gary Brent preferred was Marianne and I think Sean or some other. But she's come in and just reclaimed the spot.
Well, how I can describe Modesta Mpachikwa is that she has been a revelation, to say. One, she understands her role. She understands the anchor role, which is quite unique when somebody is there and they understand how to go about the business. I know that you've mentioned that she has been the first Lady Chevron to go past 1,000 T20 runs. That's the big one. But I would take you back to Uganda. She was better of the tournament in the Uganda qualifiers, for the global qualifiers, scoring 300 plus runs. And what she did there was the same thing that she's consistently doing. Picks up that anchor role, scores and rotates strike frequently. And she has the aptitude to know that if an attacking batter is in with her and is struggling, let me take up that role of doing both. Then when the batter has now gotten into their groove, she draws back and says, okay, let me go back to what I am called upon to do. And she does it so well. So that's the unique part about Modesta Mpachikwa, and that's how she keeps on, you know, accumulating these runs that she's getting. So that's unique. That's very good. She's a prized possession for Zimbabwe.
And that sort of comes from, I think, there seems to be a very clear understanding of people's roles in this particular team. I think I quite like Marianne 3-4. She comes in and, you know, after if two quick wickets, four, she comes in and she stabilizes the innings.
Definitely she does. This is the good thing about Marianne Sonda, is that she understands where the game is at. If she gets in and we're still in within the power play, she knows how to utilize the field restrictions. Like, I've got the power just to hit it over the inner circle, get boundaries. That would be my role. Let me do that. And then she does that. And then she understands, if I'm getting in after the power play, 89th and over, let's just push, get a decent run rate, and then give a platform for other batters to launch on, and also for me to go big. If she gets 50, she knows that I've gotten 50 in this. Why should I stick around? Let me throw the kitchen sink and everything and see how many more I can get, which is putting also the team in a better finishing off position. So she's got that sense of mind of knowing where her team is, what she needs to do at that particular moment in time, and launch on from there. So that's good captaincy as well, and good cricket awareness, rather, I would say.
And also having, I mean, I think during the Ireland series, she almost like was the only senior, really senior person there, along with maybe Precious Marange. But the having Josephine Nkomo there, who's the vice captain, as part of the brain's trust, that all helps in the bowling as well. And this is after, I think, last season, Josephine Nkomo probably had a difficult period. She wasn't getting the wickets that we know she's good at and getting the runs that we know she's good at. But back in the team, there seems to be that stability and calmness, and also having Sean back in the team. But back to Josephine Nkomo, what did you see of her? Because she seemed to be bowling with that rhythm again, got her pace back. Maybe the idea of Kazaiji Gora just coming now and she's got a bit of pace at the age of 16, 17. That might put some wind in her sails and give her pressure.
Besides that, what I think also just the roles that you've mentioned, and then the fact that you're also the vice-captain. If you go back to the qualifiers in Uganda, there were a couple of occasions where Josephine Nkomo was the captain. Mary Ann would step out because she wasn't either feeling well. And Josephine needed to see the team over the line. So that pressure that I am the captain. So if this ship doesn't have Mary Ann, who are people going to turn to? They need to look to me. So that sort of makes her bring her A game. And you also see with the way now she's also playing with the bat, she's making huge contributions with the bat. So that's also good, because I think that role of being vice captain is also just put that fire within her sails to say, you what, come on, you can do better. You can do better. You know, we look to you. If this person is not there, you need to come up with that same kind of fire and carry the momentum. Things shouldn't be any different when Marianne is not there, when you are the one who's getting the making the decisions, bringing in bowlers, changing, like, okay, let's do this, let's do that. So that has been quite key in her game plan. And also her stint in Australia before the Africa Games, both with Modesta, they were out in Australia, playing in Australia. They just being in a different space, more professional cricket being played there, and a new challenge. When you come back into the team, you come back with, you know, with new awareness of the game in terms of where we're at, what we need to do, how we need to go about business. So that's been great for her.
Yeah, I mean, we'll also talk about some of the younger players, Lindogutle Mabera, for example. I saw her during the T20 series, did some comms work on that. And you could see that she's got her wits about her. She's clever about her bowling. Tusker's little bowler, I think she's like 5 years old. I don't know.
Come on, Larry. 5 is a little bit too low for it.
They're all young to me. They're all my kids, really.
Definitely, yeah. She's young. She's open-minded and willing to learn. I think the biggest key is her willingness to learn and listen, which are good when you're a young cricketer, because yes, you have the talent, but you need to listen to people who have played the game before, or people who are watching you and say, okay, this is what you're doing. If you do this, it might help your game a bit better. And that's good. And also the ecosystem that's around in the Lady Chevrons of people who've played the game before. You did mention Precious Marange being there. Precious has been there for quite a long time, and she's doing good. So her advice to these young players also plays a key role. You know, when she goes for plenty, Precious runs in, like, keep going. Never can they hit you for 6 consecutive sixes of that type of ball. An opportunity will come. That kind of encouragement keeps the players going. And when things go right, you'll be like, you said it. You told me that this would happen, you know. So that right kind of ecosystem in the team helps young players to quickly just, you know, find their footing and find their placing with ease. And it becomes, you know, a bunch of young ladies who are very vibrant and willing to work together.
And also the immediacy of the result. So if I get the advice now and I see the advice come into fruition, that kind of gives me that feeling that, okay, let me keep listening to this person. Because if you give me the advice during, like, for example, training, and then I go to the match and that situation does not come up, then I might not think about it. But if you say, look, bowl in that certain place, this is what's happening. And then it actually happens the way you told me, that there's that lesson that you learn. And also the understanding of seniority and respecting experience.
Definitely, it plays a key role. Like you're saying, there's difference for advice in the nets, and there's different of advice when you're playing the game, you know. And also you need to listen sometimes to the senior players and the captain's strategy when they say, this batter that is in, they're very strong on the leg side. So pitch it outside off. Let them try and hit you over, you know, your offside. And let's see what happens. So trusting your captain that they've made the right call in their field placements for you and what they're expecting you to do. It's a good picture when everything comes out the way that they're planning. So that's very good, because sometimes for young players, they don't see the bigger picture. You know, all you're doing is, I've been given the ball, I'm going to run in and bowl in the best of my areas. But at the same time, you need to listen to the captains, because they have done serious, you know, analytical work with the coaches, the captain, like, okay, this better, they're strong here, let's try and do this, or, you know, just pull it back a bit. And you listen and you do that and you get the results.
It's almost giving a team, I love it when a plan comes together.
That's the feel, you know. So, but basically, that's the same thing. Everybody loves it when a plan comes together. It's like, you know what? Well done, chaps. Let's continue. We're on the right track. And I believe for me, the Lady Chevrons, they are on the right track.
And that's, I was having an interview with Francesca Chipare, and we're going to talk about her now. She talks about simplifying your strategy, bowl full length. I mean, look, I'll tell you, I was watching that match and I was at Centurion and I was streaming it and, oh no, final over and South Africa is so close. And then the final ball, there's that run out and I'm like, whoa, super over. You take me through that moment. What are you? You're there. In the final moments, you're thinking, oh, is this, like, South Africa are the favorites right now?
Well, I'll tell you that it's not just the final over, but those last 5 overs, they were very crucial. pretty much from the start of the game, Zimbabwe had the upper hand with South Africa against the, you know, pinned against the wall. Then their captain stepped in. She did well. She anchored South Africa's innings, taking, you know, that big role, saying, I am the captain. Let me look for the runs that are needed. And it sort of like put Zimbabwe in a shell moment. They were shell shocked, like, what's happening here? You know, and a presence of mind for the captain saying that we need only 4 runs in an over and we'll be fine. But if we get a boundary, it cushions us and we start working on the next over within this over. And then in that last over when Francisca was given the ball, you know, one of the key things was the messages that came from the dugout, from the coaches, you know. And speaking in vernacular, they were shouting to her, ball in wicket to wicket, you know, skip it straight. She misses, you hit. It'll be definite LBW. That's what they were looking for. And then pressure also being on South Africa, they had just that thought of saying, we need 1 run. Even if we don't hit the ball, we are going to run. So Modestus Mpachikwa was also a crucial player in that over because she saw that and like, okay, if they miss it, they're going to run. Let me get the ball, head for the wickets. We get a run out. And that was that. The doppel before that run out happened was the key one that put South Africa under pressure. Jane Winister missed it totally. There was call for yes, which was not there. Josephine Kumo had the presence of mind to see where Francisco was. My guy, it was just epic, I tell you.
And then I look at the super over, I'm like, oh, they're going to hit 4s and 6s, aren't they? This is just going to be like, oh, heartbreaking. And Francesca Schiaparelli again, and she decides, you know what?
Of which for me, I think that was good. Because giving anyone the ball there would have been serious pressure. The last bowler, they're pumped up. And they picked up, you know, a wicket that brought us into defending or just being at par with these guys. So they're ready to roll. Nobody needs to warm up or suck you up. You're already in that frame saying, I need to finish this. I have put us here. And she was up to the task when they told her, like, we're taking it. And she was like, okay, cool. Let's go. You know, she didn't even say, think twice of saying, ah, guys, you know what? Because the other option that they were thinking of going to was Precious Marange. You know, but when Francisca Chpare said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Let's go. They're like, okay, cool. Let's get on with it.
Ice cold veins, concedes 2 runs. I was like, this little girl. I know she's out saving animals because of her degree and stuff like that. But wow. And then first ball with Zimbabwe chasing, misses. And I had an interview afterwards with Walter Chawaguta. You can check it out on the Club RCM podcast. We said, simply say to Kalise, because she was the one facing, says, you know what, first ball, if they've brought in all their fielders, it's vacant in the, what you call it, cow corner, that's that. So if you just get the ball, get it over the what you call it,
the
infield, and you're done. First ball goes to, what is it, mid-wicket? Extra cover, gets stopped. And you're like, oh no, please do something. And then that ball goes over. Before it even hits the boundary, the player's on.
It was epic. But I expected that. First ball, she's got 5 deliveries to go.
To get to the right.
Yeah. So she's like, the first one, let me have a look. What's happening? Oh, okay. You're pitching it full. It's in the slot. All right. Do it again. And she went for that slog sweep. Literally, there was no one. No one in the outfield. There was no one on the fence. Everybody was inside the circle.
The Zimbabwean players were there.
Yeah, Zimbabwean players were there. We're not going to wait for this ball to just jump over the rope. It's done. This is done. It's game, set, and match. Because I think South Africa had already lost it when they said, like, we only have 2 runs on the board in a super over. Guys, what are we doing? Psychologically, South Africa, they had lost the game. It was a done deal. And Zimbabwe, they just made it sweeter by not waiting for that delivery, for that ball to go over the line. They're like, yeah, it's done. Come on.
It's crazy because the ball was going straight towards them. So watching it on the TV, the ball is going and the player's like, whoa. What I did enjoy having an interview the other day with after the first one day against PNG, graceful as Chipong Mungeri Tiripano, the best batter we've ever had for Zimbabwe, to be honest. She says, look, with me, it was frustrating being out 7 weeks. I mean, she's a player who Zimbabwe will miss any time, any day. But she said, the thing that made me comfortable was the fact that they were winning. So that gave me less pressure to get better too quickly in order to come and help the team. And you can see that sort of togetherness in this group of players. The spirit, I think, is started with Gary Brent and Walter Chawaguta has brought it in, that it seems as if these are players who enjoy playing with each other.
Definitely they do. And it's only not only Chipo Mugeri Tripan, it's also Sean. Sean has been out since August, you know. And she had a knee operation. She had complications with that operation. She was only fit for duty or fit for practice in December. And in December, where were the girls? They were in Uganda playing qualifiers, you know. And then after the qualifiers in January, that's when, you know, they were like, she was like, I'm ready for it. And they were like, come, you know.
Well, after Ireland.
Yeah, after Ireland, you know. Come, let's see. Even for Ireland, she was training with the squad.
Yeah.
But she was not fit available to play. But she was training with them. That's what I'm saying, that till January. But now she's available. She's come back into the squad. It's like as if she never left. Mm-hmm. And they're giving her the opportunity to work herself back into the Shan that we know. There is no pressure on her to say, Shan, we need to start scoring. We need those, you know, match innings, you know, figures that we used to do. They are gradually, you know, saying, where are you comfortable, you know? Are you okay? What do you need to do? You know, I love that spirit of togetherness, that nobody feels threatened. Everybody feels that we're one team and we all have a place in the whole entire squad.
But, you know, it was a player that was just in red hot form. And fortunately, she got injured in the first T20 against Ireland. Ashlyn Delia. She's going to be a big miss because, I mean, her injury is quite grave and she's going to be out until after the qualifier. But having said that, there's a lot of young talent that's coming through.
Definitely a lot of talent that is coming through. I'll tell you, like, we did mention how Modesta was key and crucial, playing the anchor role, but Kellis is an absolute revelation. 19 years of age. Oh, she's about to turn 19, just a few more days to go. But then, how she has come through from being in the under-19s and being in the senior side, and she acts like as if she's always been in the senior side. And then when people ask her, how old are you? And she tells them that I'm 18 and 100 and something days old. They're like, but you play so confidently. She's amazing to watch.
Fearless.
The essence of mind that she has, her game awareness, and even the ability to take the ball and be actually not just a part-time and say, I am a full-time spinner and I also can bat. That is priceless. Very, very priceless.
Because I'm looking at this PNG series so far. They've been able to arrest Precious Maranga. That was just never a known fact. Like, she was always in the team. But that's now saying, look, we have to give these future players a chance. It's you, like I said, Lindogutla Mapera, Kuzai Chigora, and all those players, expanding the player base.
That's what I'm saying, that everybody feels like they're one team. Nobody's threatened by being rested. You know, some players feel like the minute you rest me, I might never come back. Or is this the end of me? But it's people telling you that we need to take care of you. You know, we have bigger and better games that we need you for to play a bigger role. But for the meantime, let's give other players also an opportunity to, you know, to gain the experience that you have in less pressure situations. You know, I think PNG is a better cooking pot for somebody to be thrown in and say, okay, here, have a ball or have a bat, see what you can do, gain the experience, then we'll take you to the next after we've seen how you've done in this particular point. So for me, this is a good development structure that we have for the ladies.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come and talk about the men's game. And that's that. And as far as this is concerned, I intentionally decided to have them as two separate podcasts, purely because I'd like the women's game to have its own oxygen, you know, just have its own space. And we should talk about the women's game, talk about the players in depth as we did, and then have another episode that talks about the men's performance at the African Games. Congratulations again to the women for doing so well at the African Games, winning the gold medal, the first ever gold medal in cricket to be won there. The men's would follow a week later, but that is the Zimbabwe men. And we'll talk about that in the next episode, or the second half of this particular episode that's taking place. Yes, that's what it is. I think I'm going to put record a second half of the two separate episodes. Let's call them two separate episodes, actually. shout out to Sky Nash and for all your, you know, they do phone needs. And the Sky Nash, Sky is being SKY, and then Nash is NASH. Up in Harare, and they're available all over social media. Just get all your, you know, your solutions in as far as your phone is concerned. Otherwise, my name is Larry Quiradai, as I say from my coffee. And by the way, subscribe. I should remember to say that. I always forget to ask people to subscribe so that when an episode comes out, you get us to subscribe, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Apple Podcasts, with Good Pods, Podchaser, everywhere that you have your podcast, you can find the Clubhouse End podcast. We're going to try and get ourselves back onto YouTube after they went from Google Podcasts to YouTube Music. So as soon as that is up, we'll be available on YouTube Music. Otherwise, take care of yourself and the people that you love. My name is Larry Quiradai. As I say, from where I come from, Asi Luisa Sebenza. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.